You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
Colossians, C-O-L-O-S-S-I-A-N-S, Colossians, the third chapter. We are going to start at verse number one. Colossians, the third chapter, and I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Colossians, the third chapter, from the NRSV, it reads like this. So, somebody say so.
So.
If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly. I'm going to read that again. Put to death. Therefore, whatever in you is earthly. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Skip down to verse 8. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Somebody say, shut up.
Shut up.
Uh-huh. Somebody remembered, it's been 2 weeks, and somebody still, and I'm gonna mention this later. Let's continue. Do not lie to one another. I'm going to read that one more time.
All right.
Here goes a note. If you thought you were coming in today to get a sermon that's going to have you shooting through the roof, this thing stepped on my toes, and guess what? It's going to step on.
That's all right.
You're supposed to say my toes. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of its creator. Let's skip down to verse 12. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, here we go. Forgive each other.
All right.
Did it just say that? I just want to read that one more time. Make sure I bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, somebody say above all.
Above all.
clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Let's pray. Sovereign God, we come to you right now saying thank you. God, we thank you for all the elements and aspect of this worship service thus far. And we also thank you for the word that is on the way. We ask God that you have thine own way with me, Sean Birch, this earthen vessel. Deal with all the stuff, the mess that could potentially get in the way of your word, your healing word, your word that can lead and guide. I'm asking God that you have thine own way with me. Right. Hide me behind the cross. And so that your children, your creation, your people can be focused solely on you and your word. Lord, we struggle in our daily walk with you to live a transformed life. Help us to remember, God, who we are in your son Jesus, so that we can live a life that's not a lie and live the life in truth. So that we can lead people to you.
Yes.
And only you, oh God.
Yes.
God, help us to get right instead of us trying to get ourselves right. In Jesus' name, let everyone say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Not going to reread the pericope, but I'll tag this text in this way. Get your drip right. Get your drip right. Turn to your neighbor. It's going to be fun. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Get your drip right.
Get your drip right.
I need you to find another neighbor. Another neighbor that you didn't walk in with today. Another neighbor that you don't live with. And I need you to say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Get your drip right.
Get your drip right.
Now I need you to locate another neighbor. I need you to locate, no, not another neighbor. I need you to locate a neighbor that you got beef with. Yeah. And I stand behind this sacred desk knowing that there's some beef. Here, Spirit of Unity, we're not going to entertain the beef. We're going to cook it, grill it, and eat it. I hope you found that neighbor. Say, hey, neighbor, get your drip right.
Get your drip right.
So, Minister Belton, I figure it would be appropriate before I dive into this text, before I do any breakdown of any history or at least the context, I think it's appropriate to include in my introduction, Minister Johnson, what drip is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me be clear. How many of you know what drip is? Don't worry, I got my education yesterday on what drip was at the youth conference or youth retreat. How many of you do not know what drip is? Raise your, okay, don't be, yeah. It's okay to not know what, because I didn't. Drip. I was informed yesterday during the class I was teaching that drip, and this is from our younger generation, drip is basically making sure that your outfit looks right. But not only your outfit, you want to make sure you smell good, breath is not stank. These are their words. Breath is not stank, and that you're well put together. You can have fashionable clothes and look right, but the stuff look disheveled. Kids said you got to make sure your shoes are clean. Don't wear white shoes and them things are dusty and busted. Even if you got to work on your shoes the night before with some bleach and a toothbrush, scrubbing them down, and then putting your shoelaces in bleach so that they can be white as snow, make sure your stuff is right. Not only that, you can wear the flyer shirt or pants or outfit, but if it's disheveled or wrinkled, your fit ain't right. It's not straight. You look a hot mess. But got on expensive stuff. So I made sure I wasn't wrinkled today. Because they may be watching. I made sure Selena, bless Selena's heart. Where is she at? Right there. She said, Dad, it's 8:40. Because I told her that we were going to leave the house at 8:30 to head to Sunday school. And I'm downstairs, ironing my clothes. Normally, it don't take me a long time to iron my clothes. But I spent an extra 20 minutes ironing my clothes, making sure I got rid of those wrinkles and make sure that when I put on my fit, I was going to be presentable before people I came in contact with. In this generation, presentation does matter to them, whether you think so or not. Oh, somebody say, praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Presentation does matter to them, whether we as adults think so or not. Somebody say, get your drip right. Yeah, they go on to say that you got to make sure your drip is matching. You just can't walk in here with a brown shirt and wear gray pants, blue shoes, tie-dye socks. Believe it or not, you think they're all about bling and chains. They said you shouldn't be walking around here with big old chains or 50,000 chains on your neck. They say your drip can be modest, but still stand out. That's what the kids said. I'm like, man. And so Charlize, I was surprised. But I made sure I came today to make sure my drip is right. Even Minister Johnson said, Pastor, you look sharp. My drip is right. Can I push your theology a little bit more today? Because this text is not addressing your physical appearance. Get your drip right. Because in my class yesterday, we pushed it a little bit further and we mentioned the reality that there's a spiritual drip that we all need to wear. Oh, yeah, I got some amens, but then it got quiet a little bit in here. Pastor, what you mean spiritual drip? Yeah, spiritual drip. We have some spiritual drip that we need to clothe ourselves with if we are going to truly represent Christ and also present ourselves well before a mighty and just God. Somebody say, get your drip right. Yeah, yeah. So I know that in the second chapter of Colossians, towards the end, it talks about rules and regulations. So I'm not surprised that I saw the lesson. So I'm like, this is going to be interesting because this sermon is going to play off the lesson just a tad bit. It talks about rules and regulations, you know, it talks about things of do not handle this, do not taste that, do not touch this. And it talks about the fact that we have all these regulations and we follow things that perish. Minister Belton, I learned that God is not really upset with rules. God actually set up rules for us to follow. The difference is God is tired of us following rules that perish versus rules that are everlasting. Let me put it this way. Why is it in our culture we have no problem following people that dress the right way, do the right things? Oh, they look appealing to my eyes. God gives us eternal instructions, and we act like they're not important at all. God's eternal instructions will help us to get to heaven. The clothes that we have on us will fade away. They're temporary. They will perish. Even in this culture, you can wear an outfit today and it will be out of style in 2 weeks. And we got a lot of folk going broke over keeping up with the Joneses or keeping up with the styles of today. Oh, I got to wear this knife, Kenneth Cole or I don't know too many other, you know, whether it's Levi jeans, Parasuco jeans. That was back in the day. I don't even know if that's still in style. Throw out some other fashions. Ralph Lauren, Tommy Hilfiger, Uncle Lawrence. What? Who said what? Casper. Okay, I would have thought about the ghost. All right. Casper. So you hear all these fashions and, you know, and I'm not saying you can't buy yourself nice stuff. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you can't dress nice. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that temporary clothing should not have precedence over eternal principles.
Amen. Amen.
Wazo, they ain't feeling it this morning. I don't know why they're not feeling it this morning. Maybe it was because Pastor told me my temporary stuff cannot be ahead of the eternal stuff. There's a warning in here that we got to be careful of what we submit to. Oh, come on now. You got no problem submitting to certain fashions that will make you look good, but when God gives you fashion or drip that will make our spirits look good, feel good, but also help somebody else, we don't want to put it on. Why is it, and I told the youth yesterday, why is it we have people that would get dressed or put on their Sunday best, look right for church for 2 to 3 hours, and then after church is over, they take off their Sunday best and they put on their worldly clothes and act a hot mess Sunday through Saturday all over again? Why is it, when we turn our lives over to Christ, we become a new creation.
Amen.
The old things have passed away. We are brand new. And somebody, look, if God created you to be new, go ahead and put on your new.
Amen.
Now, like I told him last Sunday, I'm not letting you get away with this Sunday. Look, somebody say, put on your new. Put on the new stuff that God has given you. Stop reverting to old fashions that continue to bring up drama and strife in the church and outside the church. Come on now. We have to be the Christians that are going to be committed to not necessarily following the rules of the world, but following the rules of our Savior. And if we can follow the rules of our Savior, then it will save us from always being caught up in self-indulgence, always being about self, always being about the flesh. So in our text today, the writer says so, and this word so is intentionally put in my Bible. The S and the O is capitalized. In other words, it's putting emphasis on what's about to be said next. And so the writer is emphasizing that we all have been raised with Christ. Christ what? Rose from the? We all have accepted Christ and we have rose from the? We have rose from the dead. We have put off the old life, and now we are raised in who? Christ. And I'd rather be raised with Christ because Christ is seated high. Oh, come on now. Some of y'all following people that are seated in low places and think that's okay. Your blessings, your miracles don't happen from people in low places. Your blessings and miracles happen from people who are seated high. And the only person that we know that's seated high is God and Jesus, seated at the right hand of God the Father. And so what do we need to do in order to get our drip right today? What do we need to do to get our drip right today? Well, the first thing that we need to do, and it's found in verse number 2, is to set our minds on the things above. Set our minds on the things above.
If we are going to get our spiritual drip right, then we need to start setting our minds on things above. Look, verse 2 says it like this: set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Let me put it this way. I remember when I was growing up, many of you know I grew up in foster care. And so the certain allowances that my foster parents would receive from the state wasn't enough to just go to the traditional mall, huh? And buy all these expensive clothes. Yeah, I got made fun of wearing either hand-me-downs or clothes that came from the thrift store or Walmart. But I thank God I had some clothes on my body. And so, how many of you have ever been shopping before? Okay. How many of you like to go shopping? Yeah, okay. I just want to let everybody know on Facebook and everyone else that ain't looking around, you know, the hands that were raised was about 80% female. 80% female, and that's okay. When you go shopping, this is not just saying, oh, I'm going to think about what's frugal or this, that, and the other way. You're just trying to shop for something that will look what? Good. And so when you're shopping, you're setting your mind on something that's going to look good, going to look high fashion, something that's going to look like it's going to be above the rest. Now, I remember going into the thrift stores and Walmart, and I was shopping in there trying to look for something that even though it wasn't high price, I was going to try to find something that looked high fashion. You got to work with me now. So I'm weaving and bobbing through the different pants and I'm trying to see which one at least looks modern. I'm trying to set my mind on things that's going to make me look good, feel good, but also make me look good and present it well before my peers. Yeah, while everybody else wearing $50 jeans, I was going around trying to find $7 jeans that would look like they were $50. Some of y'all too quiet. You're acting too holy right now, like you've never been in a place where you had to try to set your mind on something else. Text says right here that if we're going to get our spiritual drip right, that in this case, we can't just keep searching for things on this earth. We keep on going down the aisles of earth trying to look for the right drip, the right attitude, the right solutions, the right things that will help us to look right, act right, and be right. But there's nothing on this earth that can do it for you and me. Bible says if you're going to get your spiritual drip right, then you have to set your minds. Look, y'all too quiet in here today. Bible says you got to set your minds. Can I give you this one for free? Stop going around trying to set everybody else's mind when your mind is all messed up and you got to get your mind right before you can even attempt to try to help somebody else out. Oh, let me go a little bit further. Now that you're in the position where you're going to help somebody else out, it's only because your mind is set on something above. Oh, never mind. Not something above, someone above. Because we ain't going to get caught up on the some things of life. We need to get caught on the someone, and the someone who is above is Jesus. You acting too cute in here. I know you looking cute. I know you looking fly. I know you looking high and above, but I need somebody to just come down with me for a moment and just understand that if we are going to live a life that is going to be pleasing in the eyes of God, then I gotta set my mind on things or on someone who is above. Because I'm a firm believer that it's only through God who can help us wear the right things before an unjust world. And even though we may wear the right things, it don't mean we get it right all the time. But the hope is that if we put on the right stuff, the very person who holds the stitches together. I just thought that would get somebody excited. How many of you have ever ripped your pants before? No. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go a little bit further now. In my days of being overweight, I tried to put on things that I knew that was just a little bit too tight, but I wanted to wear it. How many of you have ever walked around in church, at work, at school, or wherever, and you were just nervous saying, God, don't let the wrong turn bust me wide open in front of the public? And so it's amazing that you sat down quiet, because I said the very person that holds your fabric together, when you know you get nervous putting on some stuff that you shouldn't be putting on, you ought to thank God that the Holy Spirit is holding you together in the midst of craziness, holding you together when you have lost your mind, holding you together when you're going through breakups, holding you together when you can't pay the bills, holding you together when you just want to give up. It's not you, it's not your clothes, it's not your intellect, it's not your money, it is the Spirit of God that's holding it all together. Yeah, so we got to set our minds on things above. And if we're going to set our minds on things above, then we must know that we approach every situation with a transformed mind. But we don't transform our minds. It is only by the work and the power of Christ that our minds are transformed, so that we can actually look at things that are above instead of things that are on the earth. Because we have died to the flesh, we have died to worldly stuff, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. It says Christ, who is your life, is revealed. It's not your physical drip that is your life. The person who's sitting next to you, you may love them, and honestly, you may have an issue with them, but they're not your life. Your life is Jesus. Your life is Jesus. We live because of the Lord. We look right because of the Lord. And as the old saints say, if it had not been for the Lord, who was on my side, if it had not been for the Lord, who gave me the clothes that I needed to wear so that I can operate in a way that is going to be pleasing to the Lord. Christ is my life. And so when my mind is on Christ, then I begin to understand how I should live my life, and or rather who I live my life for. I love you, but I don't live my life for you. I love you, but I don't live my life for you. I live my life for Christ. Get your drip right. Because when people of the world see that you live your life for somebody greater than yourself, then they will be compelled to say, what must I do to participate in the same life that you are participating in? What do you mean, Pastor? Well, have you had people ever ask you, how in the world can you keep your mind in the midst of all this craziness going on in this world? I mean, have you ever had people to look at your situation and be like, for you to come through foster care, almost committing suicide, to go through all that, how could you just even keep it together? Well, you're asking me how I kept it together. It's nothing I did. It's everything that Christ did. And it was because I kept my mind on Christ. So many people are falling out. So many people are losing out on life because they are reflecting and putting their sights on people and things that can't do nothing for them. But Jesus can do everything for you. Put your mind on Christ. And so the question still stands, what do we need to do in order to get our drip right? Well, we talked about immediately that we needed to set our minds, your minds. Don't be going around trying to set somebody else's mind when your mind ain't even set on Christ. The second thing we need to do, before you could even put on your spiritual drip, you need to put to death the old clothes. You need to, in other words, you need to take some old stuff off. You need to take some old stuff off. Look, if we're going to get our drip right, we can't be walking up in here still wearing, attempting to wear new stuff, but we still got old stuff on. Have you ever done that before? Anybody? That's like, and excuse me for being graphic, but it's only, I'm just thinking about the nastiest example ever. That's like someone putting on brand new clothes. And you have the audacity to not even wash your stinky butt. And then you attempt to put on the same underwear that you had on yesterday. Them clothes can look new all you want. They can look new all day long. But if you're funky and you still wearing them same old drawers, you're just going to turn some people away. I don't want that stink. And you know what happens? Your new clothes that were fresh and new become stinky, putrid, nasty. Text says we got to put to death some of this earthly stuff that we are trying to continue to put on. Talks about things like fornication and impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed. In other words, also when it says greed, also, which is idolatry, trying to worship other things other than God. Got to put those away. We got to take off the, we got to continue to take off this, these old clothes, these earthly clothes that causes confusion and strife and pain within the congregation or in our households. It means that we must be respectful of one another and not make each other feel uncomfortable. Uncomfortable in spaces where we should be comfortable. Uncomfortable in spaces where we should be lifting our eyes to the hills from which cometh our help. And then we know that our help cometh from the Lord. It means that we need to take off any evil desires that's not of God. Evil desires that would have people go after other people's wives or husbands. Evil desires like crooked politicians up in the church trying to get our votes when they all they want to do is elevate themselves instead of elevating God. We got folk that have evil intentions, and I'm not saying every politician is evil, and I'm not saying everybody in the church chasing after somebody's spouse, but what I am saying is that if we don't take off these evil desires, it's going to injure folk that are trying to worship together in spirit and in truth. Somebody turn to the neighbor and say, neighbor, take it off. Take. Now, let me to qualify. Keep your clothes on. Keep your clothes on. We just taking off the evil desires, the passions and the lust, the impurities that are trying to pull us further away from God. But here goes something else. Somebody say there's something else that we got to take off. We got to get rid. Now, right now, there's some stuff. Watch this. I was telling somebody the other day I had lost so much weight that I still got clothes that I'm still cleaning out my closet. Ooh, somebody, I wish somebody would have picked up on that reference. I'm still trying to clean out my closet. There's some stuff I'm still trying to put to death. The problem with my weight loss journey in the past was that there would have been times that I have lost an incredible amount of weight, but then I would put that weight back on. I didn't understand, Jessica, until now, that the reason why I kept on putting on the weight, because I had my little safety blankets in the form of my old big clothes that I still had left hanging around. So Jada, you want to know what Pastor did? Pastor did this. The moment I dropped 50 pounds. Don't want to get back in those old stuff again. I got a trash bag. The only time I'm going to pull out a trash bag to put clothes in is when I got to get rid of the old stuff that may hinder me in my future. Come on now. Look, y'all might laugh, but this is my testimony. Every 4X shirt, every 50 waist pants, every 3X shirt, you realize I'm in a 2X now and I'm a 44, 46? How can you grow in Christ when you still holding on to stuff that was holding you in chains? I had to let go of those big clothes, because if I kept it in my closet, then I would have been tempted to be like, I look good this morning. Let me eat whatever I want to eat. And then 2 weeks later, oh, I can't fit into the old stuff, which was the new stuff I bought. Now I got to go back to my imprisonment closet and pull out the. I can't go back. We can't go back. But when we go back, we harm ourselves as well as harming our neighbors in the church. So we got to get rid of it. Somebody say, I got to get rid of it. We got to get rid of the anger. We got to get rid of the wrath. We got to get rid of the malice. We got to get rid of the slander. We got to get rid of the abusive language. We got to get rid of it. I want you to be honest. How many of you are angry with someone right now? Put your hands down real quick. If you can't admit that you need to get rid of some stuff, then you have already set yourself up for failure. It's okay to recognize that I'm upset with somebody, which only means that we need to get it right and work together to do some cleaning up so that we can walk together in Christian community. The reason why folk don't want to go to church is because they don't want to go not only to a house filled with drama, but they don't want to be stuck in a house where people can't work it out. Get rid of your malice. Get rid of your anger. Then it says we got to get rid of our abusive language. Now, in other translations, Jackie, it says get rid of the filthy talk. My wife said, help us. Get rid of the filthy talk. Now, the moment you hear filthy, you think of words as dirty, putrid, disgusting. And when we think about those synonymous words, we also think about cussing. I know y'all been washed by the blood of the Lamb, but I'm not going to even have you raise your hand, because I know you don't want nobody to judge you, but I'm sure everybody in here, except for the little babies, have done some cussing in the past 2 weeks. Somebody said, ouch. You didn't cuss somebody out in your mind. You have cussed somebody out in your heart. You have cussed somebody. Oh, you think that because you think it, you still in the right? No, even if you think it, even if it's on your heart, We all wrong. We got to get rid of that filthy language that continues to bring people down. That filthy stuff that comes out of our mouth. But the filthy stuff that comes out of our mouth is not necessarily cussing all the time, Reverend London. I know it sounds bad, but it's not necessarily cussing all the time. So can we talk about stuff that's filthy too? I said too, as well. Well, there are such things as judging people, unrighteous judgments that come out of your mouth, things of that nature, overly criticizing people. These are practices that are of our old self that ought to be getting rid of and stripped away. And 2 weeks ago, I told people when we run our filthy mouths, we need to be encouraged to shut our mouths, because mama always said that if we don't got nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. Now, Sister Houston, she was shaking her head like, One, she's a mama. And you better clap for her. She's a mama. Clap for her. She's a mama. And so Sister Houston knows that I know that she's had to tell her children, if you don't got nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. And we ought not say it at all, because God did not call us to come up in this church and injure each other. Oh, you should have been shouting. Pastor, why isn't the church growing? Are you not preaching the right way? Is the choir not doing the right thing? I get to dispel something. Dispel something. It's not always the pastor or the preacher. Oh, it's okay when it's only my fault and no one else's fault. Huh? It's not only the preacher. I got one on my side, Lily Grace. I got one on my side. I'm about to deliver every choir member in here today. It's not always the choir. How many times, Deanna, has somebody said, y'all didn't sing my song right? Or people have secret services after the service talk about, they should have sang it like this. I'm just keeping it real. If we can't keep it real, we will not grow. In the beginning of Colossians, it talks about growth. We can't grow until we deal with the things that are hindering us in the body. We're supposed to practice the new stuff, but we're up in here still practicing old stuff. And you better be careful. Because we also learned 2 weeks ago in that sermon, shut your mouth or God will shut you down. And God will shut you down. God has a resume of shutting people's mouths when they operate in disbelief, especially if you're in a position of faith where you're supposed to be showing nothing but faith towards a mighty God, but you act like God can't do it. I serve a God that can do it. I serve a God that can help us make it. I serve a God that can help facilitate people even in their angry moments and help us to operate in a spirit of unity. All right? So let me wrap this up. It says, do not lie to one another. Do not lie to one another. The problem in the church today is that we lie to each other. If we are going to walk in the new life of Christ, and if we're going to get our spiritual drip right, stop lying to each other. Well, Pastor, I never lied to anybody in this church. We lie to each other when we profess the faith, when we talk about love, when we talk about forgiveness, when we talk about kindness, and then we're caught in a situation where we do other than. Oh, y'all don't want to talk about that. You want to talk about how holy you are. You want to talk about the word. You want to quote every scripture in the Bible. But when it comes to living it out and putting it into practice, that's when we start. God already told me I wasn't going to get a whole lot of hand claps with this one, because this is when it digs deep. It digs deep because of the reality that if we can't let go of the old self will continue to ruin the church. We will lie to one another by how we practice the word. Or we say we're practicing the word, but we're not really doing it. It's one thing to say it, to teach it, to preach it, but it's another thing to live it. It's one thing to say it, preach it, teach it, quote it. It's another thing to live it. People are not going to be marveled by how you say it, how you sing it, how you preach it, how you teach it. People are watching to see if you're going to live the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you going to love when you're commanded to love? Are you going to bear with one another when you're commanded to bear with one another? Are you going to have compassion and humility and meekness? Are you going to be kind when the word instructs us to be kind? And we should be kind because the Bible tells us that we are God's chosen ones. We are his holy people. We are his beloved creation. And we ought to clothe ourselves with the right stuff. Don't clothe yourself with hate. Don't clothe yourselves with bitterness. Don't clothe yourselves with abusive language, slander, or wrath. Oh, I'm going to get back at you, and I'm going to make you feel some pain because you got on my nerves. No, that's not what we're about. We are about making sure we put on love. Bible says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, because love binds everything together in perfect unity. And so it's not your opinions. It's not your thoughts. It's not your nasty attitudes. It's not your way or the highway, but it's love that's going to bind us together in perfect harmony. It's going to be forgiving each other that's going to bind us together in perfect harmony. It's going to be stop complaining about each other. You realize we got more people in church complaining about each other versus forgiving each other? Well, I stopped by to let you know today that you need to take off your complaining and put on your forgiveness and let love lead you every step of the way. Let love lift you up. Love lifted me. Love helped me out. Love gave me a heart to have compassion. Love helped me to serve those who couldn't help themselves. It was all about love. But see, God shows us in a totally different way. God shows us that it is possible to love people in the midst of their worst conditions. In human history, we all have done some stuff. We've done some stuff that we're not proud of. We have said some stuff against our neighbor that we're not proud of. But in the midst of our actions, in the midst of our words, God sent his only begotten son, and his son was Jesus. That's why, yeah, the Bible's saying, even when you were messed up, even when you were busted and disgusted, even when you weren't acting right before the Lord, God still loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, and that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You made it right now because of Jesus. You're living right now because of Jesus. You're making it on the Lord. You're making it because the Lord loves you. You're making it because the Lord will help you. And if we're going to continue to grow in grace, then you need to get your drip right.